that when you become a Christian and the cross is applied to your heart and to your life, that you're not only given a new status, but you're given power in your own soul to live above the world and for God. The same spirit or attitude which was in the Lord Jesus when he suffered on that cross should flow into your life. And so we can say that the cross puts fight into your life. You just don't play over and act dead, but you want and are willing to stand up and to endure and even suffer for the Lord Jesus.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and we're on the air to bring you the message of God's Word, the Gospel, the good news that the Lord Jesus truly saves. We count it a great blessing to have the freedom in this country of Canada to present the Gospel of the Lord Jesus by these airwaves. Would you please pray for the preaching of God's Word, that this door would ever be open to air the Gospel and bring it by radio? What a great privilege to speak one-to-one, even in your car, in your home, to your family, and that the Gospel may have free course. Now, on the program today, we're going to be going to the nature of vicarious atonement, where the Lord Jesus died on the cross as a sacrifice in the place or the stead of his people. And the gospel of substitution, Christ taking our place, is really the essence of the gospel. Any preacher who does not preach substitution is really not preaching the gospel. Anyone who claims to be a Christian and does not rejoice that Jesus took their particular place on that cross and bore their own guilt in his body is really latching on to Jesus as a name, but do not comprehend the nature of his work in atoning for sin. What our Lord Jesus did on that cross was not only infinite, eternal, but it is also personal. He did it for us. And that's the emphasis that we're going to make here as we turn to the message of God's Word here in the Scriptures of Truth. This is Ian Gollaher. Thank you for being a part of the program today. May the Lord open your heart as you open your Bible and follow along here in 1 Peter and chapter 2. May the Lord bless you through his word.
Our Bible reading today is in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read and preach from this chapter today, coming away from our series on the Christian armor because it's our communion Sunday. And I feel constrained to come to this portion of God's word. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's read the chapter through. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile, all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We rejoice in what we've been singing today, that you're wounded for us, that you were suffering for us, that you rose from the dead for us, and you're coming again for us. You have us in your mind, in your heart, in the palms of your hands. We take delight today in your wondrous love and interest in our souls. We ask that as we open the scriptures, thou wilt so speak, and open the word to us, that we might rejoice in the grace of our Savior and in the gospel. Oh, breathe upon us. Give power here in my own soul to preach your word. Come, Lord, and help. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 is our text here today, and some of the things surrounding this verse. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. It's a good thing for preachers to practice what they preach. There's nothing that turns people off salvation or the gospel than to learn that someone who has been preaching these great and glorious things has really been living like the devil and serving the world and the flesh, and all it is hot air. Well, you could never fault Peter for that, because he certainly practiced what he preached. Now, what he is alluding to here and exhorting to these Christians whom he's writing, he is asking them to suffer bravely for the gospel, even suffering wrong, to bring honor unto the Lord. Now, Peter not only preached that, but he practiced it, because we know that in his end of life, he suffered on a cross. The Lord Jesus had predicted that while he might live a longer life, yet he would die a violent death. You can read of that in John chapter 20. And Peter, it is well reported in many places, that when he was assigned to be crucified to death, that he requested that he be crucified upside down, because he was not worthy to die in the same manner as his Lord Jesus. Now, in this passage, when Peter preached about suffering as a Christian for the gospel, he certainly practiced what he preached. And as this is our communion service today, I want us to focus on our suffering Lord Jesus. And we want to learn from this text that there is power in the cross. That when you become a Christian and the cross is applied to your heart and to your life, that you're not only given a new status, but you're given power in your own soul to live above the world and for God. The same spirit or attitude which was in the Lord Jesus when he suffered on that cross should flow into your life. And so we can say that the cross puts fight into your life. You just don't play over and act dead, but you want and are willing to stand up and to endure and even suffer for the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to notice in verse 21 that it says, "For even hereunto were ye called." It's not by accident that you're called to bear reproach and to take up the cross in this world. It's your calling. When you were called to be a Christian, you were called to a life of enduring hardship, suffering, and the reproach of the world. The Lord Jesus said, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." And the Lord Jesus is therefore our example in suffering as a Christian. And we are to patiently bear up under whatever reproach, shame, opposition that comes our way, that we might endure patiently, bringing glory unto the Lord. That's not just the suffering that the Lord sees, it's the manner in which we suffer. And I want us to go back into verse 20 and to read this very carefully. It says, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently?" In other words, when you do it, it's your fault. You made a mess of it. You blew it. And now you pay the price. That's normal. Anybody can do that. "But if when ye do well," in other words, it's not your fault, "but you still suffer for it," well, that's to suffer as a Christian. That's to stand up for truth and righteousness and be willing to pay whatever price comes, no matter what. But you're also to take it patiently. This is acceptable to God. Now, patiently there is to endure joyfully. It's to bear up with a song in your heart, even as you are buffeted for doing well, suffering as a Christian. If you look at chapter 3 and verse 14, it talks about, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye." And verse 17, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing." And then chapter 4, verse 16, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Now, this was the attitude and the power that was in the Lord Jesus. And he becomes our example. And we follow in his steps. And we seek to endure whatever reproach, whatever opposition, in the same Christ-like manner which the Lord Jesus endured and suffered. So today we're going to examine how the Lord suffered. In what manner did he bear up with all the pain, the shame, the ignominy that he endured to be our Savior, to redeem us and purchase us with his own blood? And as we look at the manner of Jesus' death, he's our example. And we are to pray for that in our own hearts and in our own lives as we live the Christian life day by day, sometimes suffering wrongfully, sometimes being opposed because we were endeavoring to do the right and to stand up for truth. And that's the Christian life. Now, the Lord suffered voluntarily. Look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 23. Here you see the voluntary nature of the Lord's sufferings, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. No opposition. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. The Lord Jesus obeyed the will of the Father. And all of Jesus' sufferings were in total submission to what the Father planned. The Father planned the cross. The Father planned all the steps and all the endurement that he would have to undergo. And the Lord Jesus was called upon, of course, to lay down his life. But it's the manner in which he suffered that is our example. How did he endure the cross? Well, you remember what was said in Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Now, if you have ever seen a sheep being butchered, if you have ever witnessed such a thing, there is no protest, there is no squealing, no crying out. It is as if the sheep is oblivious, and it just walks the way of death, the pathway of slaughter, as if it was going out to the green pasture willingly. And that is a description of how our Lord Jesus went to the cross. He prayed not to escape it. He prayed that he would be strengthened to endure it. He enjoyed angels coming to strengthen him and minister to him at that time. The Lord Jesus said, "No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself." And there's a particular event on the night of Jesus' arrest, when those guards of the Sanhedrin came marching into the garden. There was the Lord standing vulnerable with his disciples. And when those guards came to arrest the Lord, and he stood up in their midst, they were thrust back and they fell backwards, incapable of arresting the Lord. And then, as you know, Peter, he took out the sword and he smote the ear of Malchus. But Jesus said, "Put up thy sword. Shall not the Son of God, for this hour have I not come?" And Peter put away the sword. The Lord handed himself over willingly as a sheep to the slaughter. And he went with those Sanhedrin guards to a night of inquisition and a morning of torment, flagellation under Roman whips. When he was asked by Herod, "Understandest thou not that I have the power to condemn you or release you? Speak." And he uttered not a word. And there, before his accusers, the Lord acted voluntarily. When they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him," he did not threaten nor respond. And when they laid that cross upon his back, he dragged it out through the narrow streets to the gateway, until his frame fell under its weight, but never a protest. And on out to Mount Golgotha, Calvary, where they laid out that Roman gibbet and they stretched out the hands of our Lord Jesus. He did not protest. And those nails, they didn't fasten our Lord to the cross. It was his love for you and me. Those nails in his feet did not hold him there. And when they hoisted up that cross in the very heat of the noonday sun, it was not the power of men that crucified our Lord. It was his love, his readiness and willingness to suffer as our Savior. What a Savior. What deep, deep love the Lord Jesus has for you and me. And Peter says, Jesus is our example in suffering. When we suffer as a Christian, when we take wrong when we know we did right, when we endure the buffeting of men, not because we have set ourselves to oppose men, but because we bear the name of Jesus and suffer in his place. When we discipline our lives to deny ourselves of the world, its lusts, its pleasures, its pomp, and its pride, and we take the lowly place as a Christian at the foot of the cross, and we say, yes, Lord, we'll bear that cross. We'll take the shame. We do so gladly. Not with murmuring, not with complaint, but with joy, enduring patiently. That's the thing that's acceptable with God. And so our lives become now a sacrifice, an offering to God, well-pleasing to him, because we're willing to endure, to give up the world, give up whatever the world might offer us, to follow the pathway of sin, whatever it costs to live righteously in Christ Jesus. We willingly embrace that cross. We cling to that way of suffering because we have been given an example by our Lord Jesus. The hymn writer put it, King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. And as we take that cup and bread here today in remembrance of Jesus' death for us, our prayer must be, Lord, make me willing to endure as a Christian, patiently, with a song in my soul that it is a privilege to be counted worthy to suffer for Jesus' sake. And in that way, God is glorified in our lives. In that way, he is well pleased that we are willing to endure and suffer for him, whatever it be. It might be the loss of a friend. It might be the mockery of the crowd. It might be to be the only one to speak up for Jesus and to be despised for it. But our Lord Jesus gave us this example, that he endured voluntarily, gladly, to be our Savior. Now, are we going to be a bunch of complainers? And are we going to put a chip on our shoulder and say, oh, do I have to? No, rather it is, I want to. Because Christ so endured for me.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and we sincerely thank you for tuning in and joining with us and giving of your time and supporting us just by taking an interest in the Bible, in the Word of God, in the gospel, and I trust that this will build you up in the faith. We want to put fight into the veins of God's people. We want to be a people who will stand up for Jesus, serve him in this day when, yes, it costs to be a Christian, but yet that cost is nothing compared to the eternal glory that shall be ours in Christ. Another little thought here on why I believe the Bible. And here in the book of Dr. Ian Paisley, we have this section on the doctrine of the Bible is another reason why I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. The doctrine of the Bible is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Christ alone could say, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. The subject of the Bible is Christ. The object of the Bible is Christ. Its symbols symbolize Christ. Its types typify Christ. Its predictions predict Christ. Its gospels glorify Christ. And its epistles expound Christ. He is the genesis and the genius of the book. He himself is its unifying principle and person. And hence, no potency can disintegrate the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture. Touch the Bible anywhere and you touch Christ somewhere. Only by revelation could those who lived generations before Christ describe him so accurately and intimately, and the unanimity in regard to his person and work is an irrefutable demonstration that he himself must have revealed himself to them. They must supernaturally, like Abraham, have seen his day, as no other satisfactory explanation can account for their intimate accuracy. Such is the impregnable unity, is a most convincing testimony of the Bible's authenticity, infallibility, and divinity. And so when you see Christ referred to in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and every other book in the Old Testament, as well as the New, you know that you're dealing with a book that is divinely inspired. It is not the mere word of men coming up with their own thoughts, but it is holy men moved by the Spirit of God to write concerning Christ. And of course, to know Jesus unlocks the book. Until you bow the knee to Jesus, you will be frustrated by the book. And yet, it speaks volumes concerning the Lord Jesus. Give him your heart today. Thank you for tuning with us here to the program. Stay tuned for these final few closing announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.